We've been talking about what goes into a new beginning, right? A new beginning through baptism, right? And with baptism, we're invited each time to begin again. Every time someone else is baptized, we get the same invitation to begin again. And with it, we're also invited into following Christ, to face adversity, respond, and claim our purpose. Today, we focus on one of the least appreciated parts of our journey, where we get to wrestle with the fact that we could be wrong about anything. This morning's gospel reading continues Jesus' preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, where we first heard about how the blessing of God comes to those who most need to hear it. And last week we heard that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Keep that in mind. Now we hear Jesus use that familiar sentence construction, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And here is where we dig into what is most challenging and difficult about Jesus and his teaching. He wants us to dig into the law. And we remember that when Jesus speaks of the law, capital T, capital L, he's speaking of Torah, scripture, story, history, the foundation of the blessed community. He's not talking about just Robert's Rules of Order or some city ordinances that were collected. You know, there are a bunch of those that are a little outdated from the 19th century, I'm sure. It's not just some handful of laws. He's talking about the foundation of the community. So, when we hear this construction, "You have heard it said, but I say to you," we must remember that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not demolish, abolish, or disappear it. Jesus doesn't replace or remove it. He digs into it. He goes deeper. And when he does, he invites us to reconsider what we already know about it. Now, one of the most astute comic strips of all time was this particular peanut strip told in four frames. Many of you have seen it, or if you have the handout, you have it in front of you. And we could picture Snoopy, right, is at his typewriter on the top of his doghouse. Very familiar image of Snoopy. And there is Charlie Brown looking up at him, and he's asking him, sort of what's going on. That's what we're anticipating. But the words are different. He says, "I hear you're writing a book on theology," which always gets my attention. At this point, you know, I want to hear what's going on, right? So what's the next one? What's the next frame? "I hope you have a good title." This is Charlie Brown's walking away. "Here you're writing a book on theology. I hope it has a good title." Because we know that for books, titles are everything. It has to boil all of the contents down to a word or phrase that captures your imagination. Titles are important, and really no more important than in theology. You have to boil that junk down. What does it mean? Now we turn our attention to Snoopy, in the third frame, who declares, "I have the perfect title." "Has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong?" That's his title. Now, I didn't say it was the funniest comic strip. It's not. Just that it was the most astute. Right? At every level. For Christians and theologians are to question ourselves and see how we're wrong. We're so obsessed about being right. But this is also close to one of the foundational elements of Jesus' ministry, that he, as a rabbi, is teaching his followers to reconsider what they take for granted, right? For certain and unchangeable. To question what their teachers and grandparents have taught them, to deconstruct their very faith, right? And we see that Jesus is also, that Jesus is a liberator, come to remove these shackles constraining our vibrant life as children of God. You have heard it said, but I say to you, I say to you, reconsider what you know, because I am giving you more. Now, the substance of what is being reconsidered is some hard stuff. Jesus tackles several important emotional shackles in this passage, right? Anger, lust, selfishness. And what we're often inclined to do as we read these four sayings is to see them as we saw them before, as prescriptions, replacements for the old ones. Here's the law, but I give you a new law. But this is nothing like what he's actually doing. The one who came to fulfill, not abolish the law. So he must have something else in mind. He wants to dig into the law itself, to go deeper, to reconsider what we know and what we're told so that we can see it anew, that we can better understand it so we can ultimately fulfill it. In speaking to reconciliation, adultery, divorce, and swearing oaths, Jesus is not offering new commandments. There are opportunities for us to better see the original commandments through a lens of mercy and integrity. We're invited to give new attention to these old ideas with generous eyes, not selfish ones. To re-examine what we know about God through that same generous eyes. Jesus would have us look at our neighbors and our lovers and our families and our business partners through generous eyes. We often focus on the negative consequences of not following what Jesus is saying, so we miss its opportunity and its anti-selfishness message. It's not about what is not, what will happen if you don't. What if it's that we do? Through generous eyes, we see that life isn't about us. And the ticket to a more abundant and vibrant life is becoming more generous in our actions and spirits, to synthesize those generous eyes into a generous soul. In each of these examples, Jesus shows what a more generous soul looks like. And to be frank, the stuff is way harder than just doing the right thing. It's way harder what Jesus is asking us to do. These examples. It's harder to synthesize it in your soul. It's easier to just avoid doing the bad stuff. So if you're like me, and you hear these, you have two responses. One is, you whine. Do I have to? It's too hard. Or we throw up our hands, right? Shrug our shoulders. It's impossible, right? Last week I said that we shouldn't see our work as striving for the impossible, but that Jesus is inviting us into a life of daily intention. That's the focus. So Jesus builds on that, saying that this is the light we're shining and the work we're building, a daily intention of reconciling and profound honesty. As Daniel Kirk puts it, we aren't the forgiven people, we're the forgiveness people. And we're about creating a kind of community built on honesty and integrity, not of making promises, but of doing and being and trusting each other. That we are who we say we are, and I treat you as you say you are. not who I think you are. To give up a need to control each other and dismiss each other. To not live by alternative facts and different rules, right? Just because that's in our world out there, right? Or because it's in our cultural blueprint. Jesus invites us to reconsider all we've been taught by our families and friends and schools and churches, because that's how we come to know truth, is by examining it and re-examining it and then re-examining it through our lives. It's how we become repairers of the breach, shalom makers, and children of God. We're born with generous eyes, and our system often reprograms them toward selfishness. So we must develop new eyes, a new vision, through deconstruction and new discovery, to retrieve those generous eyes, that generous vision. To see the kingdom already around us. To see the Christ already here.